Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and friends. The show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Gentlemen, good morning. Mike Iosa, you're the host for Market View, yes. My very good friend, Mr. Jim Ross. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing good, Ike. Hope you're doing well. I want to wish you and listeners both Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and obviously a healthy and happy 2025.
Thank you, Jim. Same to you. When there's a major event that could cause major noise to the market, I want to wait a few weeks to see how the market absorbs the news. So now, it's been over 6 weeks in the election. The market had plenty of time to react. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what's going on right now, what to expect going forward.
Well, the initial reaction, obviously, to President Trump's reelection has been really pretty positive. There's high hopes that, the economy is already doing pretty good, but the expectation is he's going to make it even better. And so all that has kind of been built into prices because the Republicans won not just the White House, but the Senate and the House. I think there's some high expectations that his agenda will pass through Congress fairly quickly. And in other words, there's nothing but upside here. And my take is on a number of fronts, I think that's overly optimistic. And what that suggests is, if that proves correct, there's certainly room for disappointment. And I think that sets the S&P up for a correction in the first part of next year of at least 5 to 10% as those high expectations aren't met.
Let's take a look at our first chart, which is the household equity exposure.
Yeah, basically, this goes back to 1950. And the point I would make, Ike, and you know this well, is, it's easy to get caught up in the hoopla. And right now we're seeing a lot of positivity coming around. Conversely, in 2020, as the pandemic was sweeping the world, or 2022, and the market was, declining, and people were really worried about a recession, it's easy to get caught up in the moment. And once in a while, I think it's really valuable for investors to be able to look at some of the charts we're going to discuss to kind of get a trade location, so to speak. And so right now, what this chart shows is households have their greatest allocation to equities going back to 1950. So if you think about the dynamics, as people turn positive, they surely put their money to work over time. So the current price structure already reflects a lot of money that wasn't invested in 2020 or 2009 that is now in the market. So it becomes that much more difficult for the market to keep going up because it has already absorbed so much demand. And obviously, when people are in this much, they're expecting good things to follow quickly, which again gets back to, I think there could be some disappointment next year. I'll mention, the Republicans have about a three-seat majority in the House. There'll be three special elections next year for the three people who have been nominated that are likely going to join his cabinet. So that's a very thin margin. And what it means is that some Republicans who may not agree with everything President Trump wants to do have as much leverage as any Democrat. And so I just think some of the idea that he's going to be able to rubber stamp and push legislation through is a little too optimistic. And the tariff things, as we were told prior to the election and since, A, it's negotiating. He's going to use the threats of tariffs as a negotiating ploy. Well, what we've started to see is the people on the other side of the table are going to do the same thing. So the premier from Ontario, Canada, was talking in the last couple of days, well, maybe, all the oil that we send you, the electricity that have been used to power 1.5 million homes in New York and Minnesota, I think in Michigan, maybe we will turn that off. So in other words, the trade negotiations may wind up at the end point where, okay, they came to a good place where everybody walked away happy. But between now and when you get to that place, there could be a lot of back and forth that I think, again, could prove unsettling to the market when some headlines come across. And that's the kind of stuff. So what this chart, again, shows, high levels of exposure. In the past, when they've happened, the market's been vulnerable to declines of 20% to 50%.
How about our next chart?
This is by Top John Charts. He does a great job with a lot of different things like this. And this just shows, using a number of indicators and combining them, he created a euphoria index. So it just reaffirms what we've just been talking about in terms of people are really optimistic. I mean, they were pretty optimistic before the election, become even more optimistic. And again, historically, when there's this much excitement in the market, people have already put their money in, they're prone for disappointment. And what it implies is, okay, we're going to have a correction. Is it going to be 5 to 10%, or is it going to be something worse? And that's just going to depend on, at some point in time, there'll be a reason to sell. If it's just disappointment that Trump's not getting his agenda through Congress, or there's a little back and forth on trade, okay, maybe it only goes down 10%. But if at some point in time the economy slows more than expected, Ike, because that's the other component of the optimism, is the economy's good and he's going to make it even better, the market would be much more vulnerable to a deeper climb as we get further into next year.
How about our third chart?
Yeah, this chart shows going back to, I think, 1880. So it's a terrific long-term chart. How much above or below the Dow is at its current level. And right now it's stretched above its long-term trend by more than any time since 1929. So again, what this shows is that people have been willing to bid up prices, at least in terms of the stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, to levels that have shown it's extraordinarily stretched. And typically, regression to the mean will take hold, which means a decline of 20% or 30% over the next 1 to 3 years. The risk of that is much higher than I think a lot of people appreciate at this point in time.
Okay, and how about our next chart, which is the Magnificent Seven?
Yeah, the Mag Seven, great companies, well managed, doing exceedingly well. But what this chart shows is from the low in October of 2022, Ike, is a five-wave advance, and we're in wave five. And pattern analysis, suggests that whenever, whether it's a stock or index, has moved in five waves, whether it's up or down, you're very likely about to see a reversal, a retracement of whatever the move was. In this case, it's implying that the Mag 7 stocks are likely to see a peak. And the low for wave four was in August of this year. So that would be the very first objective. In other words, what kind of decline could we experience? Well, a decline of at least 20% plus would get you down to where the August lows were. And one of the things I'll point out is companies have spent somewhere between $50 and $70 billion on artificial intelligence. And the net result is people are doing that because they're expecting it to help their business both improve sales or cut costs. And what's so far to date, few companies have really received a return on their investment dollars. And I just think that we're going to approach a time in the next 12 months where companies are going to pull back and say, hey, we've spent an awful lot of money on this stuff, and we're not getting quite the return that we expected. Now, it may happen 2-3 years from now, but in the near term, maybe we need to cut back a little bit on how much we're spending. And I think that's the news that will happen at some point in time where NVIDIA says, yeah, sales weren't up 80%. They are only up 35%.
Yeah.
And the stock gets hit. From a chart stamp, NVIDIA's had a couple lows right around 130, 132. So to me, a close below 130 opens the door for a drop to 110, maybe down to 100. I think that's going to happen again sometime next year. And if these stocks that have been really not only leading the market, but they have literally been pulling the market up in terms of their exposure, I think they represent about 35% of the S&P. So they've had these gigantic moves to the upside. Well, if they start retracing that move from the low in October 2022, that sets the S&P up, I think, easily for a decline of 10% or more as we get into next year.
How about our next chart, the S&P?
Yeah. So to me, all this stuff is really good. It's kind of like saying, folks, there's a yellow light that's flashing. And that those yellow lights kind of imply that the market is more vulnerable to a decline of 20% or more than it has been in some time. And at the same time, the chart of the S&P is still constructive. It's making higher highs, higher lows. That's the definition of an uptrend. And so to me, one of the real warning signs will come if the S&P declines below 5833. That was the most recent trading low in the S&P, because it would imply that, oh, okay, we're breaking this pattern of higher lows. So that's the first warning. What I'm anticipating is the S&P holding above 6,000 on this pullback, and then we're going to see one more rally that takes the S&P above 6,100. I think if that develops, we're likely to see that being an important top. I'll note we're 10 days, we have had 10 trading days in the month of December so far. The market breadth, the New York Stock Exchange advanced declines, have been negative on 9 of the 10 days. And the one day it was positive by really a small amount. So we're seeing selling hitting the market under the surface, as the mega cap stocks have been holding up, cyclical stocks have been acting weaker, which is kind of interesting because it runs counter to the idea that, oh, the economy's good, Trump's going to make it better. And then why are people selling cyclical stocks? The other thing I'll point is, as we get into January, the temptation to sell some of these stocks with huge gains will increase, because you don't want to sell them in December of 2024.
Because that means in,
exactly, April 25, you got a tax bill. You wait to January, you postpone the tax bill to April of 26.
Yeah.
And so I think that is going to perversely be a component. In other words, if the market starts to weaken because of disappointment regarding Trump's trading stuff, the trade negotiations, his legislative agenda, some of those people with big gains are going to be more tempted to say, you know, things are starting to look a little iffy. I think I'll take my money off the table, or some of my money off the table. So I think, again, all this to me combines that suggests that we're nearing an inflection point in the market, but we need confirmation in terms of the chart of the S&P beginning to break down.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened. My expectation is that it will. And those are the guideposts that I'm looking at to kind of confirm that a top is in place.
And that brings us to our next chart, the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, you know, the dollar rallied. We had better economic data in the third quarter. Trump election and the belief that it's going to be good for the U.S. economy has helped the dollar strengthen. The thing I will point out, Ike, is in 2016, and I don't think his opinion has changed, Trump made some comments effectively saying, you know, in theory, a strong dollar is good. But in practicality, I'm not so sure, because a weak dollar will help U.S. exporters export more, increase jobs here, and so forth. And he's all about making America great again. His trade negotiations are trying to bring back production and jobs back to the U.S. A weaker dollar will help that. And so I think that's his core philosophy. And if we look at the chart pattern, the dollar peaked in October of 2022 at about 114.70. It then declined to that low you see on the bottom left-hand corner, 99.59. So it declined 15.2 points. Then rallied to 107. And then we had this drawn-out day down to 162, run up to 106.52, and then to the low that we saw in I think September, October, a couple months ago, at 100.18. To me, what the pattern is implying is from that low in July of last year, the dollar has completed an A up, A, B, C down for a B, and the rally that we have seen in the last 2-3 months is a wave C. So far, we have 1, 2, 3. The pullback a couple of weeks ago was wave 4. And what this implies, Ike, is the dollar index will rally above 108.07 to complete the move up and the, if you will, the retracement rebound from the low at 99.59. And that will complete wave, what it would be effectively, a B wave. And then I think we're going to see another decline of 15 points from whatever the high is, 108.50, 108.70, whatever that is. I think we're going to see another decline of about 15 points, comparable to the decline that we saw from October 22 to July of 23. That would take the dollar down to below 95.
Okay.
Sometime next year, or, you know, beyond that. So a little bit more strength going into the end of the year, early next year, but then I think the dollar will, you know, make a really an important top.
Okay, and our next chart is gold. Now, gold, I believe this is the first year in history that both gold and the S&P are up over 25% in the same year.
Yeah, yeah, and monetary policy, and I think it's had something to do with that. But the pattern here, from the low, I think it was, what, 1610, something like that. Again, I think September of 22. I think gold has had a 1, 2, 3, that high back in October, November of this year. At that time, we, you and I might have had a conversation, because what I was writing about in the Weekly Technical Review and showing charts that the number of traders who were long gold was at a very high level. Sentiment was very, very bullish. And to me, the setup was, okay, I think the dollar is going to rally. Gold should pull back in a wave 4. And I think that's what we're seeing. Wave 2 from the low back in 2022 lasted about 4 months. So what that implies, Ike, is that this correction could last into February, March. And bottom line, near term, my expectation was that we would see gold drop below 2541. Two legs being equal would take it down to about 2480. And that, I think, would provide a short-term buying opportunity. But I think the correction could take, you know, as I just said, a couple, 2-3 months longer. So that would be a buying opportunity for a trade. But I think the wave 4 correction is just going to take longer. After that correction is done, gold, based on this pattern, would go to a new all-time high.
I believe going into the election, there was a certain amount of risk premium that had gone into gold just in case the elections turned out to be contested and we had political turmoil. Since that didn't happen, that risk premium has been coming up, and it's not unwound yet, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And again, if I'm right about the dollar having another push that takes it to a higher high, that would be another reason, I think, for gold to back off a little bit and more of the premium being taken out.
Yeah.
You know, the sentiment got really kind of crazy. People are all over, that's going to 3,000. You know, it's like, okay, it may be going to 3,000, but first we're going to have a brief interruption on the way to 3,000, 3,200. So again, longer term, I still think gold, the trend is up. I just think there's more choppy trading and the deeper pullback likely.
Okay, and that brings us to our last chart for today, which is the yield on the 30-year Treasury.
Yeah, so what we can see is after the Treasury bonds yields topped a little bit ago, I'd say about 2-3 weeks ago, they declined in 5 waves. So a week or so ago, what I wrote was, all right, we've got 5 waves down. That means we're about to see Treasury yields tick higher. But that 5-wave decline, in my mind, suggests that after this tick higher in yields, we will see the 30-year Treasury yield drop below 3.3%. So I think we're seeing a buying opportunity developing in Treasury bonds. Again, I think there's going to be disappointment. I think the economy is not going to be quite as strong. Both of those things should be very supportive. Now, longer term, I can present a fairly bullish count, and I can also present a bearish count. Near term, I think we're near a trading low with another rally coming, and the quality of that rally and the extent of that rally will provide clues, like, in terms of, all right, are we going to see yields, Treasury yields, move significantly higher next year or not? And that's an open question. Just near term, the 5 waves down in Treasury yields suggest that there's another rally coming before we have to try to make that determination.
Jim, anything else you'd like to add?
No, we got it, Ike. And hey, here's to a good 2025.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great weekend and happy holidays.